And we ask you, Lord, to walk with us, guide us, lead us in the way that we should go. Help us to see that which you would have us see. Help us to hear that which you would have us hear. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, it has been on my heart, and I'm sure on your heart and mind as well. What's going on? And Brother Phil pointed out last week, with great power, that the world is running around wringing their hands. Those who are looking at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, chewing on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, are confused and upset and anxious, and rightfully so. What is it that the Lord is doing? Is a question that people are asking. We are asking, perhaps. And yet, He is able. We ask the question, but we know the answer. He is the answer. He is the way, the truth, and the life. I want to remind you of some things that have taken place in recent history of our gathering together. Besides the concern over the virus, the Lord has shown us many things. And He has told us, through our brother Charles, and we brought this up, Paul brought this up, reminded us of this, that the Lord is doing a work. And that work is making a way in the wilderness. If you would like to, you're welcome to turn or just to listen. Isaiah, that's in Isaiah chapter 40, and it again is in the New Testament. A voice, verse 3 of Isaiah 40, a voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our Lord. Let every valley be lifted up. Let every mountain and hill be made low. Let the rough ground become a plain and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. I'm going to come back to verse 6 in a few moments. The world is upset. The world, people don't know what to do. People are looking for answers in places that have no answers. They're looking in the wrong place. The Lord, I believe this is a shaking that the Lord intends to do. I am confident that this is the Lord's hand. Just as when He came down on Mount Sinai, He shook the earth. The mountain quaked and the people were frightened at the power of the Most High. By some methods of, or by some thoughts, this really isn't a big deal for the Lord to accomplish. All that has happened, He set the world on its ear. And He hasn't even really gotten started. There are so many things that we, as Rick pointed out about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we got a pretty good grip on that tree and the fruit thereof. And mankind really thinks that we have the world by the tail. The world has us by the throat. And the Lord proves it over and over again. I mean, there are, I think I mentioned it last week, there are earthquakes, there are hurricanes, there are tornadoes. There are things that we cannot stop, we cannot alter. And this is a worldwide pestilence to whatever degree it is. Some of it may be, certainly is exaggerated by man, if not made up by man. But there, people are dying from, what's the Lord doing? What's the Lord doing? He wants us, he is shaking that which will be shaken, can be shaken. And he wants us, he wants the church, he wants his body of believers, he wants us as individuals, he wants us to trust him, to see him, to believe him. He is able to do what he pleases and what is necessary and what he knows will bring glory to him and will redeem his people. What will cleanse us, what will cause us to realize this is the Lord. And mankind will be reminded of that in the end when we come, when the end times occur. All these things will be remembered. Continuing on in Isaiah, verse 6, a voice says, "Call out." Then he answered, "What shall I call out? All flesh is grass, and all of its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, just as we are seeing. But the word of our God stands forever." Isaiah 40 is well worth reading. There's much here that the Lord continues to speak through the prophet of his power and his purpose. But I want to move on from there. Part, the reason I got started on this, prompted me on this message, Brother Stephen has written a book on Nehemiah, a number of messages that have been transcribed and edited, and I'll tell you my perspective is... I've never really appreciated, I guess, what the Lord is saying in Nehemiah. And the reason for that is I get irritated with what we do, trying to claim Nehemiah for every building program that the church tries to accomplish. Poor Nehemiah. You know, Nehemiah was a believer, a man of God, and he sought to do the will of God and was willing to take his life in his hands and to go forth and do God's will. Let's look at Nehemiah. And I want to, again, see the comparison that of the things that are going on around us to the things that Nehemiah was told. In the book of Nehemiah, the first chapter describes who he is and where he is. And his brother and some others have returned from Jerusalem. They are in captivity. The words that I wrote or read from Isaiah took place during the kings. the period of the kings, Hezekiah and the various ones. Isaiah prophesied in that time frame. The people were sent into exile. The people were conquered. Israel was conquered. The kingdoms fell. And all of Israel, virtually all of Israel, was taken away to Babylon. And for 70 years, and we'll talk about that, for 70 years, they were in exile. And at the end of that time, God moved, and in the book of Ezra and in the other prophets, God moved and he released the people. He caused the king to let them come back to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. And they did. And for 100 years, almost, more or less, I didn't study it very carefully, but the general scholarship says that for roughly 90 to 100 years, they had nothing but the partially built and then the temple as far as it was built in Jerusalem. There was no wall. The city was, well, we'll read it here. The word from the people that Hanani, who was a brother of Nehemiah, reports to him in verse 2 about the Jews that have escaped and survived the captivity and about Jerusalem. And they said to me, the remnant there in the province who survived the captivity are in great distress and reproach. And the wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates are burned with fire. The remnant was in distress. And they were suffering reproach. And Nehemiah was touched by this report and he desired to go back and to reestablish the walls of Jerusalem. Now the reproach of the people, the reproach on the people was that they couldn't defend themselves. The temple was there, but the enemies, the people around them who hated them, who feared them, who wanted to bully them, could move at will, basically, because there was no place to be set apart. They couldn't get behind a wall. And Nehemiah prays in verse 7, we have acted very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the ordinances which thou didst command thy servant Moses. Remember the word which thou didst command thy servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though those of you who have been scattered were in the most remote parts of the heavens, I will gather them from there and will bring them to the place where I have chosen to cause my name to dwell. And they are thy servants, thy people. This is Nehemiah reminding the Lord in prayer. They are thy servants and thy people, whom thou didst redeem by thy great power and by thy strong hand. We see great dispersion, great many difficulties in things that are going on in the world and the circumstances of our brothers and sisters in many places. And over the years, there have been many difficulties and trials that we have gone through. that our brothers and sisters have gone through. And Nehemiah is reminding God at this time, these are the people of God. He is saying, you are able. We've been unfaithful, but if we will turn, you promised if we would turn that you would gather us all together again. Your people. And I want to remind you of the Lord is desiring to be seen. He is desiring to show his power and his life and his testimony. His testimony that he is I am. The Lord is desiring for us to know him. He is desiring for us to bear his name, to bear his image, to be a witness and a testimony unto who he is. And this time of shaking that is going on, and those that will come, perhaps more severely than what we're seeing now. I'm sure they'll be more severe. The scripture tells us they will be more severe. In Revelation, there will be great power displayed and a great cleansing that will take place on the earth. But this is not happening by chance. This is not happening out of his control. He is not wringing his hands over what's happening. He is calling some home. He is setting things in place. His desire is to redeem and to cleanse the earth. And he wants us to walk with him in that. He wants us to know him. His loving kindness towards us, towards his people. All right, I want to get back to Nehemiah, or the time of Nehemiah. And one of the things that struck me about Nehemiah as I read about the wall being down and some of these things that Brother Stephen brings up in his book. It struck me, wait a minute. If they were in such distress, as our brother Ed says, and I'm saying for me, I speak as a fool here, why is it that they needed to have a wall when for almost 100 years there hadn't been one and the temple was still there? They were still able to gather. Now, that doesn't mean that the people didn't reproach them and cause them problems. My question. So I went to Zechariah. And Zechariah prophesied at the end of the 70 years of punishment. And he says in Zechariah, at the end of chapter 1, he says some things very similar to what Nehemiah prayed. If you look at it carefully, he says, I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, there were four horns. And I assume these are like the horns of a ram or a rhinoceros. They were horns of power and horns of destruction. And so I said to the angel who was speaking to me, what are these? And he answered, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. These are the foes, the enemies that have come and dispersed them. They've carried them off. Doesn't say so, but I'm sure it includes Babylon. Babylon came and carried them off, destroyed the temple, and took away the all that was precious, all the tools of the sacrifice. Then the Lord showed me, this is verse 20 now, then the Lord showed me four craftsmen. And I'm not exactly sure I understand why they use the word craftsman, but you can study that if it's of interest to you, please do. And I said, what are these coming to do, these four craftsmen coming to do? And he said, these are the horns which have scattered Judah so that no man lifts up his head. But these craftsmen have come in to terrify them and to throw down the horns of the nations who have lifted up their horns against the land of Judah in order to scatter it. So God has raised up a force, has raised up craftsmen to set aside, to stand before, to knock down, to modify, to take away the reproach of Judah. And it goes on in chapter 2, and he's talking about the things that were seen, and he wants to measure Jerusalem. Someone runs out to measure Jerusalem, and God says, stop him, for I declares the Lord. I'm sorry, let me look at verse 4. Run, speak to that young man, saying, Jerusalem will be inhabited without walls because of the multitude of men and cattle within it. For I, declares the Lord, will be a wall of fire around her, and I will be the glory in her midst. Ho there, flee from the land of the north, declares the Lord, for I have dispersed you as the four winds of the heavens, declares the Lord. Ho Zion, escape, you who are living with the daughter of Babylon. For thus says the Lord of hosts, after glory he has sent me against the nations which plunder you, for he who touches you touches the apple of my eye. Zechariah spoke nearly a century before Nehemiah came to rebuild the wall and declares that God is a wall of fire around Jerusalem. In other words, God is able to do his will and to protect that which needs to be protected and to punish that which needs to be punished, and to separate that which needs to be separated, and to draw together in unity that which needs to be drawn together in unity. As we look at these things that will shake our world, that are shaking our world and will shake our world, God is in control. He has it in his hand. His hand is mighty and able, and he will not be defeated. He will not be turned aside. He will keep his promises. Now, this is speaking of the earthly protection. We now are under the blood of Christ. We are still subject to the flesh. We are, when I say subject, we are under the influence of the flesh of the world. We live here. At some point, the Lord will cleanse all of it and call it back into glory. And Rick shared about that in the heaven coming down, and the stones and the walls, Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. The Lord has not taken us out of this place. He has not keeping us from suffering at the level of earth. His breath still causes the flower of grass to wither and die. I someday, if the Lord tarries, will wither and die. And that's not a bad thing. I look forward to being with the Lord. We have a promise. We have hope. It is accomplished. It is finished, as the Lord said. His work has been accomplished. But He is continuing to work. If you look with me at Ephesians in chapter 2, the apostle is describing us, beginning in verse 11, "Therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh," that's us, "who were called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision," the Jews, "which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at the time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." We sing about the blood of Christ virtually every time we gather together. Certainly Brother Jay is here. "The blood of Christ is able to cleanse from all unrighteousness." All right, verse 14. "For he, the Lord Jesus, is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And he came and he preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have our access," we both, the Jews and the Gentile believers, the circumcision and the uncircumcision, "both have our access in one Spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone." Again, Rick reminded us of the foundations of the New Jerusalem, the apostles, those stones, those precious stones, and the building of the wall, "in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit." The Lord is about this work, this redemptive work, and the things that happen as his breath blows upon the flesh, the grass of the field, and the flesh withers and the flowers fade. He is doing this work. He is creating a dwelling of God in the Spirit, in his people, in his church. His desire is that all men would come to know him, that they would see him through us, that the things that he does and the things that he shows us, the things that his power displays, are his business, and it is important to him, and that we would walk with him and be his people and be a testimony to him. I want to share one more scripture out of Psalm 67. God be gracious to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, that thy way may be known on the earth, thy salvation to all nations. He is speaking of the Jews who believed. He is speaking of us who believe. He is causing his will to be done, and he wants us to be seen by those who need to know him, who he wants to know him. He wants to give us spiritual life. He wants to build us into a dwelling of the Spirit. Lord, we ask you to help us to trust you in all things that we see, all things that are troubling and in the world. Lord, we do not desire to remedy something that is being done according to your purpose. We want your will to be done. We ask you, Lord, to guide us and to help us to see you and to walk in your ways. In your precious name we pray. Amen.